You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
But you know, church, over the last couple of months, we've had an amazing couple of months of celebrating and rejoicing and seeing what God is doing. You know, with the summit, the opportunity we had to pursue God, to meet with God, the mountaintop experience. Last week, celebrating our 40 years of Gateway, celebrating God's goodness over the years. And we have so many reasons to praise God. And, you know, my prayer is that through this word, whatever our current season looks like, whatever we might feel like, whatever our current state of mind is, that we find a reason to choose praise, that we find a reason to praise our mighty God. So would you join me as we open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you that you are a faithful God. I just thank you that you are sovereign over everything. And today, Lord, as I speak, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each of our hearts, that you would stir faith, that you would cause us to rise in our heart of praise to you, and that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged, but we would be spurred on in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd love to find out from you guys, what comes to mind, or what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about praise? See, I'll give you an example. My boss at work, he was asking me what I'm doing this weekend, and I said, oh, I'm speaking at church this morning. He's like, oh, what are you speaking on? And I was like, oh, a reason to praise. And he's like, oh, yeah, like praise. Like, you know, when someone does a good job, you tell them, well done, well done. And I was like, oh, yeah, if you're not from a church background, you hear the word praise, you're like, it's like, oh, that's praise. Like, well done, good job. So what comes to mind when you think of the word praise? Anyone want to shout out what you think, or... Mayonnaise. Oh, the praise brand. Good answer. Good answer, Steve. The praise brand, although I prefer Heinz, to be honest. Mayonnaise. Anyone else? Honest answer. I love it. Mayonnaise. That is a good answer. I love it. Nah, it's good. Anyone else? Worship. Great answer, Vanessa. Worship. Praise. Anyone else? Exalting, good word, love that. So good, Graham. You know, there's so many words that we can think of when we come of praise. And something that I think about praise is like, you know, that's what we did this morning. We sang songs, we clapped our hands, we raised our hands during worship. But you know, something I saw on the internet the other day I thought was great. We can praise and we can think, yes, I got an arm workout. Anyone ever raised your hand for a long time during praise and you're like, ooh, my triceps are a bit sore. And you're like, yes, isometric holes. Goodbye, flabby arms, I've praised. Yeah, little circles it feels doing there. You know, maybe you think praise is raising hands, worshipping, clapping our hands, and we go home with sore arms and yes, we got an arm workout. You know, praise could be a part of that. Praising, worship, singing at church together. Praise is listening, exalting, worshipping God in our praise and worship. But you know what? It's so much more than that. See, the Hebrew word for praise here, all arm workouts aside, in a serious moment, the Hebrew word for praise, hallel, is to give thanks, to glorify, to boast in, to exalt. And you know, this word in the word that we sing in songs, hallelujah, this word, hallel, is the root word of it. It means to praise, but the word Yah or Jah is Yahweh, Lord, praise the Lord. That we say hallelujah, praise the Lord. But praise is to give thanks, to glorify, to boast in, to extol. Praise is something that is so essential to us as followers of Jesus. My friend, you and I were created to praise God. Colossians 1:16 says this, for in him, this is Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Psalm 150, verse 6, that we sang in the song praise. Let everything that has breath, you and I have breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, praise is a choice that we make to glorify God because of who he is. Praise is a choice we have, like Graham said, to exalt because he is the God of all creation. Revelations 4:11 says this, you are worthy, our Lord of God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. See, praise is singing songs on Sunday. It's singing in praise and worship. Praise is a moment where we glorify God. But praise is a posture. A posture that acknowledges God, that thanks him and honors him as sovereign over everything and thanks him for all he has done. Psalm 150 verse 2 says this, praise him for his mighty works, for all he has done. Praise him for his unequal greatness, that we can honor him, that we can give thanks to him, for his greatness is unequaled. But let's be honest, like as human beings, in some seasons, it can be easier to praise. You know, in seasons where, like we're in now, of rejoicing and celebrating, it can be easy to be like, yes, let's praise. But my heart is for me and that us as a people, we will continue to adopt a posture of praise, that we would choose praise. Because the Bible has many accounts where people like you and I chose to praise. They had circumstances they were in, but they chose to praise. You know, David wrote many psalms, but some of those psalms were written while he was being pursued and chased down by Saul, while he was fighting enemies. David chose to wrote psalms. Yes, he cried out the despair in his heart, but he chose to praise. If we think about God's people as they walked around the walls of Jericho, at the end they let out a war cry, a shout of praise, and that's what saw the walls of Jericho come down and them walk into the fulfillment of God's promise for them. Time and time again, people in the Bible chose praise. So today I want to look at one of the accounts where followers of Jesus chose praise. This is the story of Paul and Silas when they were in prison. It's found in Acts 16. So if you've got your Bible app or your Bible with you, looking up Acts 16, we're starting to read from verse 22. But let me give you some background first. Paul and Silas were in the area of Philippi, and they met this young girl who was following them day after day. She was possessed by an evil spirit, and through this evil spirit, she was able to tell the future. So she was following them day after day. And one day, Paul just said to her, in the name of Jesus, be free. And she was set free from that spirit. But you know, the people who she belonged to, they were very angry because they were getting income from her. And they were like, now she's not telling the future. She's been set free. We're not going to get our income anymore. So they were very angry, and they went to the authorities and they made wild, untrue accusations about Paul and Silas. So that's a bit of a background story, and this is where we pick up the story in Acts 16, verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. What a powerful scripture in verse 25, that in that moment, Paul and Silas chose praise. You know, they weren't in the best of circumstances. They'd been beaten, they were clamped in stocks, they were in this dark inner dungeon. Yet at midnight, they were praying and singing praises. Can I encourage you, my friend, that you and I today, we can choose praise. See, praise is not circumstantial. Praise is not dependent on the situation we're in. Praise isn't based on our feelings, our emotions. Praise is a deliberate choice that we can make based on who God is and what He has done. See, hear my heart here. It's not about ignoring our situation. It's not about ignoring the circumstance or pretending everything is okay. Can I say with all the love of my heart, sometimes we can over-spiritualize and be like, praise the Lord, everything is great, when really there's turmoil internally. You know, sometimes we can be like that. And my heart is that we may need to be acknowledging those things, acknowledging that, look, I'm going through stuff. Yes, I choose to praise you, but I'm going through stuff, and seek the help we need for that. See, I love how the psalmist says it in Psalm 42, verse 11. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He acknowledges, I'm discouraged, I'm sad. I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. See, in other translations, it says, yet will I praise you. It's not an ignoring of, this is happening in my mind, I'm just going to ignore my emotions. I praise you, God. It's saying, yes, I'm discouraged. Yes, I'm feeling downcast. Another version says, but I will put my hope in you. I will praise you again because I'm acknowledging who you are. I'm acknowledging the mighty God you are. I am acknowledging that you are sovereign over a situation. But can I encourage you this morning as well that we don't have to strive so hard to choose praise. We don't have to be like, I'm going through all this stuff, but I'm going to choose praise. I have to choose praise. We can ask Holy Spirit to enable us to choose praise. I love what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourself, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we can ask Holy Spirit to help us choose praise. Can I encourage you, allow Him to fill your heart with the song of praise, with words of thanks to God, as it says in the scriptures. Can I encourage you, let's be people that choose praise. You know, Paul and Silas chose praise. What happened as they did? Let's pick up the account in Acts 16, starting at verse 26 now. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself, we are all here." What a powerful suddenly moment. You know, just an earthquake, a natural disaster, this could be a coincidence. All the prison doors to fly open. Monica, Daniel, you guys are engineers. Structurally, is that possible for all prison doors to fly open as a natural thing? Maybe after an earthquake. But for all the shackles to fall off all the prisoners. Those things in succession, a massive earthquake, all the prison doors to fall open, all the shackles to fall off. I think this might have been God at move. What do you reckon? I think this was something supernatural. You know, all these events in succession, God moved powerfully in the midst of their praise. Can I encourage you today? Praising God is an expression of faith. You know, if I think of that song, "You are worthy of it all. For from you all are all things, and to you are all things." I thought about singing it, and then I was like, I might get the note wrong, so better not to. You deserve the glory. You know, it's a song, "You are worthy of it all, for from you are all things, and to you are all things." It acknowledges God's sovereignty in every situation. It acknowledges who he is. Our praise is an expression of faith, but it's an expression that of faith that invites God to move in power. Now, let me say this here, not that God needs an invitation from us to move. He is sovereign after all. He will move however he needs to and wants to. But time and time again, we see how Jesus responded to people's faith and moved in power. If I think of blind Bartimaeus and he wanted to see, Jesus said to him, go in faith. Go, for your faith has healed you, in Mark 10:52. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well," in Mark 5, verse 34. You know, hear my heart here again. We don't praise just so we get an outcome. Instead, our praise is expressing our faith, inviting God to work mightily. We choose to praise despite the outcome because he is so worthy of your praise, of my praise. So can I encourage you, my friend, whatever season you might be in, keep expressing faith through praise. And be encouraged. God still moves powerfully today. You know, if I went around the room and asked multiple people about a testimony where they've seen God move powerfully in their life, we'd be here for a very long time. We could spend a whole day talking about it because time and time again, I know of people who God has moved powerfully in their lives and he is still the same God today. You know, what a powerful thing that Paul and Silas experienced, that suddenly God breaking through for them. But I think it's important to acknowledge that this was a suddenly. You know, what about when we don't get a suddenly? What when we don't get the series of events? The suddenly, the prison doors opening, suddenly all the chains falling off, suddenly there was a massive earthquake. What if we're in this prolonged season of challenging circumstances? You know, can I encourage you that you're in good company? There's many accounts in the Bible where people didn't see the breakthrough at once. You know, David didn't always have a suddenly. He was still pursued by his enemies. He was still pursued by Saul. Paul got a suddenly this time, but we know he was in prison many other times. But some of the great work that God did to Paul was in prison. He wrote some of the letters to the churches that we still read today in his time of prison. So my friend, you know, be encouraged that even if you don't get your suddenly, even if you go, do you know what? I'm not seeing the breakthrough, Ed, that you can choose to posture yourself in that place of praise. Keep expressing faith through praise. But what does that look like today? Can I encourage you? It's acknowledging who God is, thanking him for all he has done. Like super practical points, just thanking him for who he is. Gratitude and gratefulness is such a powerful tool as we honor God. You know, read out, speak, study scriptures about praise. Good example, the Psalms of Praise, Psalm 146 to 150. If you want to study praise, they're called the five whole hallelujahs, five whole praise the Lords, because they're all about praising the Lord. Time and time again, they're talking about praise the Lord for this, praise the Lord for that. Can I encourage you to actively engage in praise and worship here at church, at midweek events, at home? Keep expressing faith through praise. You know, I recognize this isn't always easy, but can I say stay the course? You know, your circumstances may not change at once. They may not change for a long time, but your perspective can. Your perspective will. See, you experience his hope, his joy, and his peace that Pastor Ozzy spoke about. You know, my prayer is like that prayer that Paul prayed in Romans 15, 13. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much hope, joy, and peace as you trust in him. Then you will have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful promise that we have, that hope flows out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is something I had to remind myself of recently. See, I recently faced a situation that was disheartening or discouraging, and it had the potential to, like the psalmist, to make me go, oh, why are you so downcast? You know, I had to acknowledge that I was feeling discouraged. I had to say, I'm feeling a bit disheartened by this situation, and I talked about it with a trusted godly person. But then, like the psalmist, I had to be like, God, yet will I praise you. Yet will I choose a posture of praise. You know, I prayed expressing thanks to God, expressing gratefulness to him. I had a mini praise and worship session in my room. And as I did, you know, the situation didn't change at once. It still hasn't that much. But I experienced what I described like an injection of hope. Like if you get an injection of, you watch movies about like someone getting an EpiPen or injection of adrenaline, they're like, all of a sudden, it was like an injection of hope came into me. That hope started to rise in my heart. That hope, the power of the Holy Spirit, a hope that was more powerful than my situation, flowed in and through me by the Holy Spirit's power. You know, this is not something that's unique to me. Paul's prayer wasn't just for the ones and twos. That hope and more hope will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep posturing yourself with an expression of faith through praise. Keep knowing that God was with you in your circumstance and that he will give you his hope. Because be encouraged as you continue to praise, God is moving. God is working on your behalf, not just for your circumstances, but for others, because that's what we see as we continue on this story or this account of Paul and Silas. Because can I encourage you, your prison moment may be a moment for someone else to encounter God. Your prison moment may be a moment for someone else to encounter God. We see this in Acts 16, reading at verse 29. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. What an amazing outcome. A whole household believes in Jesus. What was a prison moment here for Paul and Silas, through God's mighty power, brought freedom, restoration, and salvation to a whole household. You know, your prison moment, my friend, may be part of someone else experiencing God's saving power. Your prison moment may be part of someone else encountering God. See, the supernatural prison break was in itself the sequence of events, an earthquake, the prison doors opening, the shackles falling off. But more than a prison break, this account demonstrates God's heart and love for all of humanity, people coming to know and believe in Jesus. You know, that's why we exist as a church, my friend. You know, it's what's on the screen, their relationship on the wall, their relationship with God, grace to all. That's why we exist as a church, so that all will have the opportunity to know Jesus, to believe in him and know his grace for them. That people hear the good news of Jesus, believe in him and are saved. That is why we exist as a church. You know, the good news of Jesus that God, and we heard around communion, that God in his great love for humanity sent Jesus to live on the earth. He paid the price by living a perfect life. He paid the price when he died on the cross, paying the price that you and I couldn't pay. When he died on the cross, he was buried and rose again. That is the good news of Jesus, by the pathway he created for restoration for you and I to know him personally. So like this jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? Through believing in Jesus, Paul and Silas told him that you and I, through believing in Jesus, can be saved from the punishment that our wrongdoing deserves, that we can be set free and restored to right relationship with God. My friends, we know this. God's heart is that all will come to know him. And you know, if you are here today or you're watching online and you don't have a personal relationship with God, or you've walked away from your relationship with God, God's heart is for you to know him. And I would love to give you the opportunity to come into right relationship with God at the end of this message. But church, can I speak to you that God's heart is for all to come to know him? And this account here focuses on the jailer experiencing God and knowing God. But can I suggest that there are other people in this account who experience God move, not just in the prison break, but through Paul and Silas? Anyone want to take a guess at who I might be thinking about or talking about? The jailer's family, that's one of them. Anyone else? The other prisoners, so good, Fee. The other prisoners, you know, curious how the shackles fell off all the prisoners and the prison doors were open, but they stayed put because Paul says, "Don't kill yourself, the jailer, we are all still here." You know, we can understand perhaps why Paul and Silas stayed. Maybe God had spoken to them. He had spoken to them about what was to come or what he was doing. But these other prisoners, like if it was me, I'd be bolting. Can you imagine, like, you know, the conversation? Hey, the prison doors are open. Hey, my chains are off. Yeah, mine too. Should we go? Should we leave? Nah, we're going to stay. Okay, we'll stay. Said no one ever. Like if you were a prisoner who'd just been set free, wouldn't you be like taking your first opportunity to bolt? Wouldn't you take your first chance to get out of there? But they didn't. They stayed. You know, the Bible doesn't say specifically, maybe they didn't realize they'd been set free, but that seems unlikely. It was a massive earthquake. Maybe they were just like, oh, we're not sure where to go. We better wait and see. But can I suggest that perhaps they could have experienced something of God through Paul and Silas that it caused them to want to stay, that caused them to want to see what would happen? Because as it says in Acts 16:25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. The other prisoners were listening. You know, for you and I today, friends, just like the other prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas, people in your world are listening to how we carry ourselves in our words and actions, what we post on social media, how we react to pressure. You know, my friends, people have the opportunity to experience Jesus through us as we choose to praise in the way we act, in the way we speak to them. How can people experience Jesus through us? You know, as we catch up with people, with intention, with people, our family, our friends, those in our sphere of influence, offering to pray for someone, for something they might be going through. Having a heart of gratitude, that's something that today, like I said, is so powerful. To express gratefulness, gratitude to God, but even to people, is very powerful in our world today. Sharing a story of how God has come through for you and how you are trusting God for something. You know, people are listening, and you and I, church, we have the opportunity for them to encounter God through us. But what an amazing opportunity that we have, that through embracing this posture of praise, that we can walk in freedom, but we can also be part of someone else experiencing freedom, someone else experiencing the freedom of, that God has for them. Be encouraged to keep that in perspective, because I think sometimes we can get caught in that prison season, in that prison moment, and it's a real season. But you know, as we shift our perspective and go, I'm going to posture myself to praise you, be encouraged that as you do, God is working on your behalf, but not just for you, also for other people. But you know, as I wrap up this morning, sometimes it's easy to kind of go like, oh, you know, that's easy. Like somehow people think like pastors have a supernatural power that we don't face stuff, or that, you know, it's just for specific people that can experience this power, or the praise, or choosing this posture. But it's for each and every one of us. And so today I've invited Olivia to share a testimony. You know, when I think of Olivia, I think of someone like the joy of the Lord is her strength. Like that's what I think of her when I think of Olivia. The joy of the Lord is her strength. She's someone who's so exuberant, so full of joy, so loving and caring. And I've invited her to share a testimony of a time when she saw God break through in her life, but where she had to choose praise in her circumstance. So as Olivia comes up, the team's also going to come up as well. And I invite Olivia to come and share her testimony. Can you give her a round of applause as she comes up?
I think I like that side better. All right. God has done so much in my life, and even standing here today is a testimony, because I just flew to Perth for work, and on my way, when I came back, I started feeling sick, and I'm like, no, this is not happening. And I know, like, when I start coughing, there's trouble coming. And I'll tell you a story why I'm scared of coughing. So when I was in high school, I just started coughing. And my voice disappeared for 12 months. The doctors could not tell what was wrong. Went from hospital to hospital, like good hospitals. And one doctor just told my mom, this is hallucination. And my mom was like, you are crazy. And my mom took me to one of those small clinics we have in Kenya. And they gave me a penicillin injection. If you've had that, you would know how painful it is. And the next day, my voice came back. So, years later, while I'm here in Victoria, I just started uni, was working at Energy Australia as in a call center, wasn't my favorite job, but I had to do it. And I was doing uni, so full-time uni, full-time work at the same time. And it got to a point, really, I wasn't enjoying the job. I was just doing it for money and to keep me from being insane. So it got to a point, I think it was just the beginning of winter, I think. I got a cold, just a common cold, and started coughing, and I knew, okay, trouble is coming again. But before then, like, I would have a cough, lose my voice for a few days, and it comes back. But this time, it was different. My voice actually disappeared. It went for a holiday for 8 months. I'm at uni, I'm supposed to do presentation. My job involves talking on the phone. So guess where I was put? In a box, in prison, right? So my life changed because one, I couldn't go to work, but God's favor was on me. Like, they would have decided we don't need you anymore, but instead they gave me time to go to the doctors and stuff. I still continued with my uni, but I started a new habit. When I left home, Stuart would drop me off at the station and I'd catch a bus number one to Deakin. And I would sit in a corner in the bus and I would put my music on YouTube and I would start praising. And I would start praising and zone out. Like, if you asked me, like, how my journey was from when I got on the bus to when I got to uni, I can't tell you because I was just lost in the spirit. And in those few months, I went to a few doctors and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And it got to a point, like, they were sending me from one doctor to another, I'm not a medical person, but they put some pipe in my throat, which was not pleasant, and still couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And one day, I just learned quickly, like, God is trying to teach me something here. I'm not sure what I did, must have been very wrong. And I thought God was punishing me, but it wasn't a punishment. I think it was a journey in my life that I needed to go through. And it just changed everything in me. My spiritual life was different. At that point of my life, I would sleep at night and I think I'm sleeping, but I'm praying. Like, I'm thinking I'm asleep, but in my sleep, I'm seeing myself praying so hard. And God started even showing me people to pray for. And I would call them the next day, I'm like, well, what's wrong? And they'll be like, it's not good. And and all through, God has been showing me things in my dreams, in my sleep. And when I talk to people, they're like, how did you know? And I laugh at them and I'm like, God knows about you. And as you sit there, you may think that it's easy, like you just take it as it's normal. But there's someone somewhere praying for you. If it wasn't for that person, you wouldn't be where you are right now. And it's taught me to be sensitive to God as well. I have learned to listen to God. I'm not sure if my ear was filled with cotton bud before, but right now I'm hearing God. And I'm learning to obey. Even when it's hard, I kind of talk to him and I ask him, God, are you serious? Like, do you really want me to do that? And he's also kind of, God has done a lot. He's shed some things out of me. I had a lot of friends, and I think some of them were derailing me in a way. And God has just, I didn't stop talking to them. They stopped talking to me which is good for me because they can't blame me. They can't blame me. So God has brought healing, restoration, revival in my life, and I believe in others too. And yeah, that's the story of my life. And just a verse to finish with. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not yours, your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So my prayer to you all is that you may get to that point where you can hear God talking to you and obey his command. And that's when you'll realize, even in that small box or jail that you are in, God is just going to release all the gates open. And yeah, it is a journey that I've enjoyed. It's been hard, but right now I'm celebrating. I'm like, God, I actually now know that you really love me. So yeah, that's the story of my life.
What a powerful testimony. Thank you for sharing that with us, Olivia. What a powerful testimony. You know, praise didn't look conventional, like what we said at the start for Olivia. Praise wasn't singing songs because Olivia lost her voice for 8 months. But the testimony of God's mighty power in her life is she's here today. She spoke with her voice, but also the testimony of the breakthrough that others experienced, that God spoke to her and she was able to minister to them in their time of need. So can I encourage you, my friends, wherever you find yourself today in this season, you know, maybe you're riding that mountaintop high. Maybe you're walking through a season in the valley. Maybe you're just walking along somewhere in between. Can we be people that choose praise? Praise that acknowledges who God is. Praise is an expression of faith that you are sovereign, Lord. You are mighty. You are worthy of everything. That your praise in a present moment may be part of someone else experiencing God. We have a reason to praise. We have a mighty Savior who died on the cross for us so we could be restored. We have a reason to praise. And you know, when we finish this morning, we're going to do that. We're going to position ourselves. I invited the team back up because we're going to praise to finish with the song Praise. But can I encourage you that as we sing that, let it be more than just a song. Let it be more than just a praise song and an exciting thing that we finish with. Let it be a declaration that we take into our week, a declaration that we can praise. We can praise God for who he is. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But you know, before we do, I want to pray for us. And after the service, if you need prayer, if you find, do you know what, I'm in this prolonged prison moment. I need the breakthrough. I'm not seeing it yet, but I need the breakthrough. You know, one of our pastors, I would love to stand with you. One of our other pastors would love to stand with you in prayer. So I'm going to pray for us corporately, and then we'll finish the service with praise. But if that's you and you need prayer in the service, please don't let that moment pass you by. If you're feeling that you need breakthrough in your prison moment, we would love to stand and pray with you. So let me pray for us. Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all things. I just thank you that you are sovereign, Lord, over all. And I just pray for each of us, Lord, as we go into our weeks, as we go into the coming days, that we would choose a posture of praise. That praise that is not dependent on our circumstance, on a situation, but praise that honors you for who you are, for you are so worthy of all praise. I pray that as we praise, as we adopt this posture of praise, that you will work in and through us, that you will give us your hope, Holy Spirit, and that your hope will outflow out of us to the world around us, because people will experience your power through us praising. I just thank you for who you are in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, friends, if you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know personally, like I said in the message, you may have heard of Jesus. You may have been walking closely with him, but you've may not made a decision to believe in him. Firstly, can I encourage you that God knows you. God loves you. His heart is for you. God's heart is for all humanity, that all humanity would know him personally. And you know, just like the jailer asks, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You might ask, "What must I do to be saved?" Just like Paul and Silas said to the man, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And they shared the word of the Lord with him. This is what the word of the Lord, Romans 10:9 says. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." See, I'm not talking about knowing about God or hearing about God, but walking in a close personal relationship with you. And if you're here today watching on or watching online now or later date and you don't have that and you would like that, I would love to lead you and the church in a prayer that does that. So church, would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross, were buried, and rose again for my forgiveness. I declare with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you because of that, I am saved. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I turn from them and turn to you. Teach me your ways, Jesus. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.